Are you ready to dream on? Do you know how to fly high and soar among the clouds? Get ready to live adventurously, because the Laura Meeks Show starts now. Listen as Laura lifts you off the ground while teaching you how to fly high. Forget ground-level drama and be prepared to confront your dreams head-on as she encourages you to navigate towards your North Star and into what just might be the best life you've imagined. Dream on. Live adventurously on the Laura Meeks Show.
Laura Meeks, welcome to the Laura Meeks Show. It's another incredible Wednesday. It's high noon. And breathe in all this incredible fresh air on the western coast that we're in. This is going to be a great show for those of you that are new to the Laura Meeks Show. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to cover. Part of the thing that I absolutely love is I deal a lot with transformation. I made a lot of transformation, a lot of change in my life. And a lot of what I like to talk about is how to endure and ingratiate, to build a tool chest to build changes. One of the things that I've recently been talking about, I've been doing a couple seminars at the university, and Andy and I had a chance to talk in particular about our transformation, or what I would call our major transformation. But out of that came an interesting intro to our seminar, and part of it deals with this, and this is kind of where I want to start. Change is part of our life, and I would like to think this is something that we just figured out, but it's not. In some of my research, there is a guy named Heraclitus who 2,500 years ago made the immortal statement that the only constant in life is change. So part of what I love to chat about is like, wow, we've been dealing with change for a long, long time, and we should be getting really good at it. You would think we'd be really good at it, but every generation goes through a whole new change, a whole new set of circumstances, and has to deal with change in a whole new way. And so part of what I want to really chat about today is how change shows up, and how we might better use that change. Now, to help me in my quest, I have brought in Dale Olansky. Now, in my screen, she's over there. She might be, over there, depending on. Dale, say hi. How are you?
Oh. Hi. Hello. It's great to be with you. It's great to be with your audience. Very excited to talk about the word and the action of change, to see it a little differently today.
you know how we're in the center, then they had the whole thing about turn off your cell phone.
Oh yeah.
So here I am in the middle of the radio show. My phone is going. I was like, oh geez.
I forgot to tell you about that.
Yeah. So in any case, Dale, can I give you the introduction that I have?
Please.
See if I double down on this. I guess I was thinking.
Please do. Double down if you like. Triple down.
Here's Dale. Dale is the lead practitioner in the Center of Spiritual Living. So she and I share that incredible spiritual life over at the CSL Palm Desert. Currently ministerial training 2020. You're going to be...
A rev.
Full-blooded rev. I love that. I like this. Dale helps women awaken to their inner power and get back in the driver's seat of life. Now, I'm kind of in the flying pilot seat, but if you want to be in a car, you can be in the driver's seat.
Sometimes a car's fun. I don't know.
He'll help you there. Also, if we take off, I'll help you at that one. I like this, too. She assists women who are feeling lost, unhappy, and disconnected to find their way back home. So in so many ways, a lot of our work is compatible, because dealing with life and change and dealing with the situations that come up, that all is part of that. We are going to use now, it's hard to see if I can get that just right.
Perfect.
This is Dale's book, Fear to Faith, A Daily Guide to Finding Solace. I'll speak slowly. The uncertain world. It's uncertain out there. In the light of change, you can see all my little bookmarks. I went through it and I absolutely love it. This is just to let your readers know, inside each page is a little paragraph and then some space to journal. And it's 365 days. So one of these a year should do you. I guess you come out with another one next year or what?
No. I got to finish ministerial training. Then the next book will be written.
Okay. Well, so this will be good for
for a few years. Yeah.
We'll come up with something new because you have a website and you have a blog. So we can get some of that along, but some really, really, really good stuff in there. And so we're going to make use of some of that today. I'm going to go back to my notes. So one of the things, so change happens to all of us. And let's start here. Tell me some of the, just off the top of your head, big changes in your life, big changes that happened.
There's been lots of career changes, relationship changes, people making their transition, and my inner growth changes, those changes where we come to a place in life where it's not working anymore. It's not working anymore. I did a talk years ago when I was just kind of coming up into speaking at our center, and I did this thing about the journey home, and I talked about planet Tiwa, which is a planet where we say this isn't working anymore, and we need to start leaving. We have to change. But yeah, change. And a lot of my book is about the constant of change and how do we walk through the various changes in life. And my book talks about my changes that I went through in about a year and a half period of time. And one of the big changes was the change in our leadership in our country, and not to put any judgment, but there were people that were really disturbed by it. It was very scary for them. And so my book was all about, well, how do we go through these changes that we're perceiving as scary to us, and how to find, and I'm a spiritual counselor, so I take a spiritual approach to change, which we'll probably talk about at nauseam throughout our conversation. But for change to be the most manageable experiences, we do have to find something that's unchangeable within us. And to me, that's God or spirit or whatever you want to call it, love.
So let's go down that road for a second. Something in your words, unchangeable within you.
Yeah.
In my spiritual journey, and you've had an interesting one as well. I'm speaking at the Unitarian Church this weekend. My mother was Unitarian, and so it's going to be fun to go back and hang out with the Unitarians for a while. But after that, I went into the Catholic experience. Annie was Catholic, and we were very strong in the Catholic Church for a while. Then went to Unity, and then went into CSL, and the work that happens there. So a real kind of transition through a lot of different phases of religion and kind of coming to the idea that there is maybe something outside of me physically or mentally that is part of my life here. Now, interesting, when you were a kid, one thing that I was talking about in preparation for this Unitarian speech was the fact that as a child, I was very much in love with science. And I think our generation is, if I'm dead in the middle of the boomer generation, most of the people that I grew up with kind of grew up with this skepticism of religion and its ability to help you deal with life's challenges, because that, and it's funny coming from CSL, because often people say, well, that's woo-woo stuff over there. But as a child, I really felt like, well, Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, that's all woo-woo stuff. That's just like you guys are making some stuff up and thinking about the stuff that you're doing. But as I've transitioned through, 60-some years of this earthly existence, I'm finding that is an important piece. If our listeners are out there and they're thinking, well, yeah, I'm going through some challenging times, but, Dale says there's got to be this thing out there. Talk about that. How do you connect to that?
Well, it's actually, it's not even out there. It's in here. It's in you. It's in all of us. You know, everybody's relationship and understanding of God is different. Even people in this, even CSL people, they probably all have a different idea of God because it is personal to us. So for me, it's if you're trying to discover what that is, you can even go to your soul, because your whole life, there's been that soul of you. You may have gone through many changes in personality and friends and life situations, but isn't there a constant that you've been in tune with since birth, whether you want to call it spirit or nature or love? There's just something defined within yourself that's never changed. And once we can really kind of define that or feel what that is for us, it gives us something to hang on to in the course of all the various changes we've gone through in life. And it's, to me, it's just foundational. You got to have something to hook into. And if you don't believe in God, you can believe in nature. You can believe in love, or believe in just something that maybe you don't want to call anything, but you just have a knowing that there's something that is bigger than who you are, that is always with you, that is guiding you along your way, and you just have a sense of it. Anything you can do to find what that piece is for you is going to allow you to hang into something through your changes and to get back into a place of stability where change has calmed down or stopped, so that you can get your feet back on the ground. But it's so important. It really, for change, managing change, yeah. Right?
You need to get out of the balloon and back down to the ground.
Well, I
take that to heart. And, you know, it's interesting because my experience in the Catholic Church and even in my early science world, my experience with other religions was, yeah, there was something out there, some guy with a clipboard that was watching you and be careful and follow the rules and do all that stuff. And I do think that as time goes on, that for me, my opinion, me coming into myself had a lot to do with understanding that there is something besides me that's happening here. Now, whether that, and I would agree, I find it inside. I think that has helped me a bunch in dealing with the changes that I've been through. But perhaps that's one of the first realizations, I guess, or a difference that happens in life when you realize that it's not out there, that it's in here. So that when you're dealing with really big changes, that you're not trying to, you know, it's so funny because we as humans, we have, and I'm really big on the word paradigm, and the idea that we have put together these models, and it's so easy to think that my physical body's here and your physical body is there, and that we're separated, and that there's someone out there like a teacher or a boss or somebody that's watching us and judging us, and we have to please that person, follow the rules, and get through that. But one of the things that I found, and as we go into the next segment, we're going to take a quick break here, but one of the things that I found is that for me in particular, but for people in general, I think what happens is that model works really good until you go into what you termed on page 27 as the dark night of the soul.
Oh, I'm glad you're bringing that one up. That's one of my favorite entries.
So when we come back, I want to delve deep into the dark night of the soul, because I think it's an experience like that, and we'll chat about some of the things that I've had and you've had where we're in that spot. But I think that's where the real rubber meets the road, where you really have to say, what do I really believe? What am I about? And that's, I think, where the best growth and the exciting part comes. So hang with us. This is Laura. I'm here with Dale Olansky, and we will be right back to talk about the dark night of you. I'll see you right back.
G Choose the New Earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Jen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
This is Laurie. We are back. I love this. We kind of rock in from the break, and Kat is really good at good music. This is Laura Meeks. We are at the Laura Meeks Show. This is Wednesday noon to 1. This is where I actually get to connect to all of you guys out in the internet space and connect our ideas and our thoughts. One of the things I just find so interesting and so grateful, I'm so grateful for having this opportunity to be on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm on twice a month, the second and fourth Wednesday from 12 to 1, and we cover a lot of topics that are of interest to me, really, but I hope are of interest to you. As I've gone through a lot of transformations, a lot of my work is in coaching and speaking and talking to people about things that are happening, changes that go on, and how we deal with change. And that's the main focus of what we're talking today. I have, depending on where you're looking, I have Dale Olansky somewhere on the screen, right next to me, somewhere here. And Dale is a practitioner, soon to be reverend at the Center for Spiritual Living here in Palm Desert out in California. And today's topic is we're talking about changes, how to deal with changes. And before the break, one of the things that I wanted to connect with was I'm hoping that there are people that are listening that have or are maybe going through now what I would call the dark night of your soul. And Dale, in her brand new book, Fear to Faith, which you can get on Amazon, we'll post something somewhere, but you can get it on Amazon. A wonderful book, and it deals with daily. There's each page has some words and then a little space for journaling So that you can, every day you could read just one quick thing as you wake up, right, Dale? I mean,
sure, yeah.
Or, you know, maybe during a coffee break or something, it's a chance to just connect in a different way. And so on number 27, so I picked out number 27, and this is, so I'm just going to read this real quick. The concept of the dark night of the soul invokes a sense of heaviness around it, and for good reason. During those times in life when we get stuck, when we're feeling lost, abandoned, hopeless, we must expend a great effort to get out of this consciousness. Regardless of the experience that brings on this dark night, in my mind, there's only one universal cause, and that's separation from our higher power. When we have an experience that pushes us to doubt the presence of the spirit, we go dark. This inner drama is created in the mind because our expectation of how God is supposed to show up in our lives has not been met. Now, Dale, was that spark from your dark spot, or tell me a little bit about how you found that little concept, and tell me what that means to you.
Well, like most people, I've had many dark nights of the soul, and where I just felt like there was no hope, there was nothing to pull me forward, and I just felt that emptiness. And most often, in my life, it's come from things just falling apart in my life. I felt it as when I was very young, when I was a teenager, I went through anorexia nervosa, and that was a really one of my big dark nights of the soul, because I kind of fell out of where I was in my friends groups and with high school, where I got very disillusioned and I got very, very introverted and just got very sick. But I was able to, my sister at the time was in college and she was in Santa Cruz, and she'd come down to visit our family. And she was my spark of light, because she taught me about spirituality and to start to see myself differently as beyond, you know, high school and family, and to find that golden essence of who I was. And so she lit the fire for me to start exploring my spirituality and seeing myself differently. And so it was a really big identity change and a big change of consciousness. But I've had, you know, like all the other times, I had another dark night where I was in a relationship and it fell apart. And I got very distraught, which many people do in relationships. And I walked through that darkness yet again. And then I decided to move to the desert. And that was my spark that relit my life. So a lot of the stuff that we go through with the dark night of the soul, it's cyclical. And it's part of our humanity. And I don't know any person that hasn't had a dark night of the soul. But what I emphasize in my book in that particular entry is that the soul is really always intact. It's our minds that really get confused and get disoriented and dark. But the soul is always there, and it's always doing what it can to wake us up through our spirituality to say, hey, you can make it through this. There's a whole new life that's being born from this experience, and grab on, because there's opportunity. So that was really the purpose of that entry, to kind of give people kind of a way through dark night of the soul experience.
Yeah, it's interesting. I looked up online the dark night of the soul, and in essence, and it's interesting to me because that's not a term I really use much, and I don't know if that wasn't a Catholic term, at least not in my experience. But it has come up in a number of times in recently in people's conversations, like, wow, I'm really going through a dark night of the soul. So part of what I gleaned off of the information I got this morning is the fact that it is a full transition, in that the dark night arrives and you are lost and hopeless. But that loss and hopelessness, if you kind of hang on to life long enough, you will drift in closer and closer to the light. Now, another one of your stories dealt with going through a tunnel. And to me, this was kind of the dark night of the soul, was kind of one of those things where you're swirling in a dark pool of water and you can't figure out where you are. And then slowly you're moving through the tunnel, and then, oh man, we're out in the sunny ocean, and hey, I made it out. And it's interesting because one of the things that you'd said is that you've gone through a number of these. I have too. When I was looking at researching this, I was thinking like, oh, when was that for me? And for me, my first marriage breaking up, and we had two young boys. And for me, the darkest spot in that zone was the fact that I had grown up in a divorced family. And I had a very, very strong feeling that if I ever got married, that I would never, ever get divorced and do what happened to me to my kids. So for me, the dark night of the soul occurred when all of a sudden there I am on the doorstep of a divorce, and actually clearly can remember walking out the door and seeing, you know, these two little heads in the looking out the windows, and you're just like, oh, I'm leaving, you know. And that very dark spot. Now, one of the things that I want to aim you at and ask you about is a number of times in my life, and if that was a dark night of the soul, coming out of that, though, ended up getting married to Annie, reconnecting with our kids. We've had a great relationship with our kids over the past, you know, 30 some years, very connected to them, very enjoyable time with my marriage to Annie. So even though there is this dark spot, there was this transformative portion where you're pondering everything in the world and will it ever get better? And then not only did it get better, but it got really good. True in your case? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. I for me, all the dark nights of the soul that I've had have had remarkable, wonderful things come out. Like, it's so amazing. Like my one that I had before when I had that relationship end, I mean, I got into the desert and I love my life here. So it was a blessing, right? Huge blessing.
I mean, a huge blessing. The huge weather, blessing. We have 350 some days of sun here. It's like this every day.
Right? That, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important.
Yeah. Let me pause there for a second.
Right.
Believe it or not,
wow.
Life on the radio zips right by.
It does. Goodness sakes.
We're going to take a quick break here on the half an hour, and we may just skip the next one just because I do think that this dark night of the soul, we will continue this quest because I do think there's some good examples in your life and my life of what happens in those dark nights of the soul and the fact that there is bright light after that. And I think anybody who's facing that dark night of the soul right now, good news here.
Yeah,
to the right radio show to find out that there is sunny light right behind you. Just hang on. So hang That's on right. for a couple minutes while I get a commercial break, and we will be right back. All right.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hey, this is Laura Meeks. We are live back from the break. This is Transformation Talk Radio out of Seattle. I just love Transformation Talk Radio. All kinds of really good stuff going on. And if you're here for the Laura Meeks Show, then we love to talk about change and transformation and all the things that are going to make our life better, easier, more exciting. In my world, dream on, fly high, live adventurously. That's finding a dream, using the best of your abilities to fly as high as you can, and then living adventurously. This is you. In general, you get one shot at this.
At least for this experience.
I like to think I've done this a couple of times, but at least for this time on Earth, I'd like to maximize that. And so, a lot of what I love to chat about is how can we better understand the things that are going on, and how can we better make use of our mind and our body and our soul so that we can have the best experience that we can have here on life. We are here live with Dale Alansky.
Hello.
Dale is here with us. We are discussing part of her book is Fear to Faith by Dale Alansky. You can get it on Amazon. And before the break, we were talking about what it means to have the dark night of your soul. And I shared with you the time that I went through a divorce, and it was very, very challenging. But that's not the first, and it's surely not the last. I agree with you, Dale, that I think so much of what happens is that we are living, growing humans, and part of that growth process is the challenging piece of, okay, here's your understanding of where you are, and then I'm going to make it a little more challenging and then see if you can grow through that and come out the other side. And for me, as challenging it was, and if I go back, you know, for me, living through the divorce of my parents was one of my early challenges to watch my father go away. Now, the good news is even in that scenario, my father has always been in my life. In fact, he's still alive. He's going to be 92 this year. So bless his heart. He has been an important part of my life. So even though what looked like an incredibly dark time, the loss of my father, and then what happened next, the rest of it turned out well. I mean, I had a stepfather. I contact with my real father for my whole life. There were some real blessings. And in many ways, I had two fathers. So it's like, hey, you're getting double the fun. So a lot of good things have happened. Talk to me about the coming through the process and out to the other side where light showed up. And all of a sudden you realized, hey, I made it.
Yeah, I just, for me, walking through that whole experience, and first and foremost, it's just to acknowledge it and treat it with love and to know that it's just something that's transitory. It's not going to last forever. And like what you talked about, Laura, a few minutes ago, is just the knowing that it's something, you know, things happen in life and they're unsettling, but it's not a forever thing. And if we have that right attitude, then we can see that a light definitely is guiding us. There's imagery that a lot of people use for going through the dark night of the soul. It's just like a cloudy day, but the next day you wake up and the clouds have parted and the sun is shining. So I think really it's all about holding on to the knowing and the understanding that, as they say in the Bible, this too shall pass. And if you're open to it and you keep your eyes open wide to that being your reality, then that's what's going to happen. You're not going to have to sit in that darkness forever. It's just part of change, part of transformation. And if you just understand, and you know, honestly, I think people need to reach out to people for support as well. Don't do it. Do not do this alone.
Don't do this at home.
Don't do this at home. No. Reach out, you know, because when you have people that know what you're going through, they can pour love on you and you can, it softens what you're walking through. And your friends and your family or whomever is in your life that is an inspiration to you, they'll be that light until your light really turns on and you're back into terra firma and the light is shining and you can see how actually positive what you walked through ended up being.
Well, and I appreciate what you're saying. One of the things, you know, I'm in the business of coaching and mentoring, as are you.
Yeah.
A lot of my work and a lot of my compassion is for people that have gone through these, because I've gone through a number of very challenging transformations in my life. Obviously, the biggest one I can think of is when I was, you know, a macho male pilot. And now I'm a female life coach. That alone was kind of a challenging thing. But I want to go back to one of the things that you said because I think this is one of the strong feelings when you're in the dark night of your soul, that you made this thing. It's like in the clouds, and if you wait till tomorrow, the clouds will part. The challenge that I have, and I think most people have, is that you think, it's okay, I'm going to hang on, and well, the clouds didn't part tomorrow. Well, that's okay, I'll go 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, 30. How many days does it take to get through this? And I think there is part of the growth process is that for me, and when you're in the dark night of the soul, I think part of what makes it such a strong experience is no matter how long you think it's going to take a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
So I think it's very easy when you meet people and they say, well, just hang on, it'll be better next week. And then it's not, you know, and then it's weeks and months. Some people have laid in bed for a year thinking, well, this is going to last forever. And I think that it's that loneliness where you feel isolated, alone, and without help that continues this path. Like, it's like the longer you sit in that, the longer it seems to take. And I would agree that one of the helpful things, and it's not an instantaneous cure, but one of the things that helps a lot is to be with other people, friends and family that have a positive attitude and or mentors and coaches, practitioners at the center, religious people that are in your faith are helpful. Do you agree? I mean,
I totally agree. And I think something else that is very helpful, and I'm all about the gratitude practice, because we have we can have a tendency when we're in that dark night to just see darkness everywhere. And if we could be grateful for one thing, five things would be great. It starts to shift your energy a little bit. So when I know people that are going through the dark night and they're confused and lost, I tell them, do a gratitude journal. Five things you're grateful for in the morning, five at night, because certainly there's something you're grateful for. Maybe you're even though you're walking through a dark night, maybe your health is just great. So thank God I'm so grateful I have good health. I'm so grateful I have enough money to pay my bills. There's got to be something. I'm grateful I'm breathing today. That just softens the dark night stuff, because you're able to see, you know what, maybe it isn't as dark as I think it is, because a lot of my things that are in my life that are good are stable. So it's really working with the mind through the dark night of the soul to kind of really get that reality check. And also, you know, you and I were just talking about all the different dark nights we've had and how we've seen them come out with light, to remember those things. You know, whenever I had a little dark night of the soul about last month, and I reminded myself, you know what, I've been here before and it always turns out right. And that softened it for me. So the evidence of the past and how it's worked out fine is also good to remind ourselves about.
Well, and I think a lot of that, and I think part of the value to our listeners of hearing this radio show is the fact that very often the people that you look up to, that you see, Dr. Joe is very good about pointing out the humanity that he is as human as the rest of us, because it's very easy, I think, sometimes to see your boss, your competitor, your best friend who just won the lottery, or it's like, oh, they have such an easy life and they just don't understand how horrible my life is. But what I've found is that if you actually sit down with those people, in fact, I will dare say this, more often than not, the people that you think have had the easiest path are probably the ones that have been through the darkest nights of the soul, that they have been through challenges that would be very challenging for you to go through. And so part of what I find is even when you think, hey, that person over there, well, they just won't understand me. When you sit down and talk to them and say, hey, I'm kind of going through a dark time now. Oh, let me tell you about, and they think of, whoa, by comparison, this is one of those, I love this example. And this is probably spiritually said a lot, is this, if you're at a conference and everybody puts the challenge that they went through on a piece of paper in a bowl, and you had a chance to switch your challenge for their challenge, it's like, whoa, I'll just take the easy one, the softball one that I got, because, the things that you've gone through are really incredible. So, in so many ways, I think that finding somebody else to talk to is really helpful.
Yeah.
I love the idea of the gratitude journal, because in so many ways, talk to me about the mind. One of my favorite books is called Illusions. It's a Richard Bach book. And basically the premise is, everything that you see is an illusion, and that it's all right here in your mind. And even the dark night of the soul is crafted in your mind.
And exactly. And I even say that it's a dark night of the mind, because the mind has had some sort of experience that has caused it to be distraught and down and in the dark. And so the mind is what created that as a reaction to whatever's going into your life. So, I'm all about mind power and self-talk and learning how to manage the mind, because it does need to be managed. Awareness is the greatest gift that we've been given to be able to, right? Yeah. I think awareness is awesome. And so really, if you're going through a dark night, remember the role and be cognizant of the role your mind is playing. Is there self-talk going on that's making you go even deeper into the darkness? How are you reacting to all this? And that's why I bring in gratitude. Gratitude is a mental practice that brings about a new awareness to put into whatever your thinking stream of thought is, so you can start to shift it into being more positive and more optimistic about the outcome of whatever it is you're walking through that's making you feel dark.
Yeah. Well, and when I go back to that scientific person, as a teenager and in college, you're thinking, okay, I just need some data and something to prove to me that I can handle this. But in so many ways, everything happens right here. And I can't agree with you more, is that very often when I'm working with people who are stumbling down the stairs into the darkest night of the soul, it's like, turn around. It's like, what? Stop going down the stairs. Turn around. Start coming up the stairs. It's like, I can't. I'm stuck going down. It's like, no. You can turn around. And it's simple. Sometimes it's simple stuff, like you're saying, where you're basically dealing with gratitude. It's just like, that can be just enough to start turning you. You know, even if you just turned half, you know, quarter way, you'd be level. You'd just be on that same stair for a while so that you could get used to that stair and then turn around and look up and go, oh, yeah, you know, there, I could make it up. Take a step up, see what, you know. And one of the things that I absolutely love about the kind of work that we do is that it's simple. But, oh, my gosh, I have to tell you how challenging. I mean, you think, well, this is all an illusion. It's all in my head. So I'll just, you know, think a new thought. Just go ahead. Think a new thought. And let's just go up and have a happy day. Just forget about it. Let's just go have a happy day. It's like, it's not quite that easy. Because yeah. when you're dark, and talk about that. I mean, when the self-talk, what does that sound like? When you're in your dark night, what things are going through your head that you got to get out of there?
Oh, there are things like I'm never going to feel good again. Oh, here we go again. I'm doomed. This is what always ends up happening. You know, all that cluttery stuff that just isn't true. It just isn't true.
It just happened before.
Right.
It always happens to me, and I'm the only one that it happens to. No one knows what it's like to be me.
Yeah.
It's like,
and look at like you just said, you're creating an illusion of thought that is creating an experience that is keeping you going down the staircase, and you have all the power in the universe to stop the thought. And yeah, it takes practice. It really does. And I'm glad you mentioned that. For most people, it isn't easy to just turn your thinking around. And that's why you and I do the work that we do, because we teach people how to make it easier. And to know that they don't have, the more you do the work we do, I guess I'll put it this way, the tools we teach people, the less time you spend in the dark night of the soul, because you're able to turn it around. You acknowledge it, but you're able to turn it around and go up those stairs much quicker than without having any kind of spiritual tools or transformational tools.
Yeah. No, I recently, I'll share this with you. A lot of people that have mentored me have taught me a lot of interesting things. And part of building my Fly High Living is I've personalized it. And so I've taken a tool from one of my mentors and I've rebranded it into what I call Lauricity, which is kind of like Laura's electricity. And one of the things that I found very helpful to people is, we had this discussion the other day. It's very common that one of the first things we talk about is this awareness. Where am I? And I can't tell you how many people, especially people who are like in our business, practitioners and others go, I'm aware. I'm in the trench. I just like, welcome. I know. Hey, how are you doing? I'm fine. I'm in the trench. It's like, it's good that you know that you're in the trench, but you got to get out of the trench. It's like, just because you know you're in the trench is not enough to change your life. So somehow you got to physically move out of the trench. And that's why I say that it's simple. You just have to change your thoughts. But the hard part is the practicing. I'm a drummer. And I have been practicing drumming for the past couple of years. And there's just a lot of times, like this morning, where I was just practicing this one thing for 45 minutes. I'm just trying to get it faster and faster and faster. So one of the things that I found challenging is if you're in the trench and you know that you're in this trench, how to get out. So one of the things that I did with a friend and a client the other day I have a video studio and I have a camera and a big green screen. So I took her over there and said, okay, here's the deal. Let's get you out of the trench. You know you're in the trench. So this one thing was bothering her. And I said, so tell me about how that's bothering you. And we filmed it. And it was very much, well, you know, this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. And it's really not so good. As they say, it was, it's not as nice. And we looked at it and said, God, I feel bad. It looks bad. It feels bad. I said, so let's do this. Let's think of something really joyful. and let's videotape that. And honest to God, this is interesting. For those of you who are listening, think about something that's pure joy for you, because she had a really hard time figuring out something joyful until she thought of her little cat.
Oh,
it's like, oh, but my cat, and when I come home and my cat's there, it's pouncing around and we have so much fun, and we filmed that. We looked at that, and I said, so when you look at that, how do you feel when you're looking at that? It's like, ooh, I'm out of the trench. I'm over here now. It's like, and that's the kind of exercise I find helps. Now, tell me, in your world, what helps people get out of the trench?
Self-care is something that I teach people how to do, is to be loving to themselves, because many times when people are in the dark night of the soul, they're heaping on more negativity because they're thinking badly about themselves. And so I say, do something loving and kind for yourself. Take yourself to a spa, go to a movie, whatever it is that you love to do, go do it. And so it's like they're getting out of the trench for whatever period of time. It's a similar strategy, because when you're in the trench of the dark night, you don't want to be pouring more acid on yourself by condemning yourself. You want to go, right? Yeah, let's really pour it on.
Yeah,
why do we do that?
Heap it on.
You wanna start, and I love the analogy, you want to turn around from the stairs, or turn going upwards from the stairs. And we can do that by self-love, by really having compassion for what we're going through, giving ourselves more love, doing more things that are loving and kind, and just really letting ourselves know that we truly are loved. We are loved by the universe, by our loved ones. And when we're in a state of love, the darkness falls away. I mean, the experience we're walking through might still be there, but when you've got love, you can't have fear, you can't have hate, you can only have love, and that's an uplifter. Like the story you just told, part of her joy was the love of her cat, and that took her right out of those trenches.
And she was as amazed as I was, is how quickly that can happen if you can take, now, and think about this, is all it was her changing her thoughts from, oh yeah, this happened, that happened, then he said this, and that made me feel bad, and then I did that, and that made me, it's like, so why do you want to keep rehearsing that?
Right?
It's like, why are we living that over and over again? And I have to say, there's a lot of scientific, a lot of the metaphysics of the work that we do is rooted in science, and there is a lot to be said about why the mind loves to be in negative territory. There is this, if it didn't feel somehow comforting to keep living it over again, we probably wouldn't do it. So that's part of the thing that makes it so challenging is that when you're, if you've ever, and we all do this, you meet a friend who's like, how's your day? Oh, it's so bad. You would just say, oh yeah, well, you should see how bad my life is. Next thing you know, you're both like way down here. And then you stop and you go, God, yeah, wow, whew, man, weird. That feels bad. It's like, let's think about something good. Now, here's a thing that I found very, very helpful to me, and I'm going to pass this on, is that I'm very visual, and I love butcher paper. This Pat, bless her soul, Pat Vasily, who's helped me and runs Transformation Talk Radio, she and I are working together. And one of the things she said is get a giant piece of butcher paper, like, 4 or 5 feet long, a couple feet wide. Get a bunch of colored markers. And what I did is she said, just go back from like birth to 20 and just write down any time you can remember you had fun. And I just had a poster filled of, oh yeah, we went to Disneyland, or we went to the state fair and I went on the roller coaster for the first time, or I was canoeing with my, friend, or we went hiking, or, whatever, just simple stuff. But when you're in the dark night of the soul and you stand in front of that poster and you read down, it doesn't take, you don't have to really go very far until you go, I've had some really great times. And I've done that now as we built my business. I did one from 0 to 20, like 20 to 40, and then 40 past. Mm-hmm. so that I had kind of three big chunks of life of where different things are, because there's birth of kids and marriage and, you know, some really stellar times, first solo in the airplane, you know, things like that, that will help you find that.
Yeah.
But I do think that it kind of to end this, because sadly, believe it or not, we are getting.
I know. We're back.
We skipped a whole. We didn't even take a break in the last part. But part of that, all of that, is just to kind of wrap this up. And in your eyes, 30 seconds. What if you're in the dark night of the soul? What's the best thing you can do?
Oh, I get a friend, talk to a friend, and do the gratitude work, and just have faith that everything is going to be just fine, but really get support and love yourself. Just love yourself. Yeah. And know everybody's gone through that. Everybody.
Well, and the last thing I'll say is, and one of the things you started with is that your soul is eternal. It's not going to, this is not going to take your soul down. It may feel like that way. But if you can recognize and connect to source energy and realize that you're fine, that you're perfect, whole, and complete as you are right now, and that you're going to make it through this somehow, some way, that it's just an experience, live through it, then you can have a radio show and you can talk about it.
Or write a book, whatever.
Well, that's going to wrap us up for today. This is the Laura Meek Show. I look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks. We're going to have more fun to talk about change and transformation in this life. And I wish you the absolute best blessings to you, Dale, for sharing us today. And
we'll
get you back. We're going to go on the planet Tiwa. That's an upcoming show. So we'll have that. All right, that's it for Laura Meek's show today. We will see you in 2 weeks. Good night.
You've been listening to The Laura Meek Show. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us next month as Laura helps you find your unique gifts so you can bring them to the world. For more information on Laura Meek's or to listen to past shows, visit her website at flyhighliving.com. Check out her hit Dream On 12-week course, where you get the personal attention you need to fly high in your new life.